Okay, gang, this week it's going to be a little more challenging. What we're going to do is we're going to review the alphabet briefly, review a few of the words that we learned last week just to kind of get you into the mode of it. We're going to go over a few more vocabulary words. We're going to look at a few small connecting and particle words, things like that. And then we're going to get into the verb structure system. That's where the meat kind of goes into, and that is the heart of Greek. You will not understand Greek unless you get this kind of down, at least have a foggy notion of what's going on with it and get a kind of a big overview picture of it, which is what we're going to try to get to tonight, okay? It's not going to exhaust the learning capabilities or potential for that, because you can take this kind of thing and really just carry it as far as you want. Some of you, I'm sure, did rather well in grammar in high school and in college, and perhaps you'll pick right up on this. Others, such as myself, struggled with it all the way through. I was told when I started taking Greek that if you didn't get grammar in high school and college, don't worry, you will really get it when it comes to Greek. I took Greek, I still don't really get it. Okay, so I'm just letting you know up front what we're dealing with here. I won't go any more with that. So... anybody have any questions about what we've covered the last 2 weeks? Okay, let's go ahead. We're just going to do a brief review and we'll get started again, okay? So this one here, if you remember, we're just going to go through the alphabet real quick just to kind of get us our Greek juices flowing a little bit. What we got here, gang?
Alpha.
Beta. What is this? ABBA, a Swedish singing group from the 70s and 80s. That was right. Okay. Gamma. How is that pronounced? G. What we have here? G. G. Yeah, as in the NG and gang or rang. Well, not that one. Yeah. Well, rang. Yeah, I was going to say ranger, but that's a little different. Okay, what we got here? It's going to be a little different.
Delta.
And we had the widget and all that. We won't go through that, right? Epsilon, pronounced as an right, short E sound. It's a little more different.
Zeta.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. Let's see here. Here we go. That's a little better here. This third one's a little better. Zeta. And how's that pronounced? Z, as in adds. Eta, and that's the long E as in obey sound. They call it a long E in Greek. Right. Theta. Zeta, eta, theta. Remember that. Your friend Zeta ate a theta. Whatever that means. Iota, correct. This is a hard one. This one's the most difficult.
Kappa,
right.
Lambda.
Moo, M as in monkey. It's easy to me to get this one and this one kind of confused. They're almost kind of reverse of each other. And if you have to find yourself writing them one after the other, flip-flopping, you'll pretty soon your handwriting is going to turn to gibberish. Just be prepared. New. Z. That's the X sound. Omicron.
P.
Rho. Little bomb. Sigma, right. Also sigma. When is this one used?
Middle.
And? The end of a word, correcta. Tau. Upsilon. Phi. Phi key. C. Omega. Pretty simple. You guys did good. What's that?
We have our notes.
That's fine. I have mine up here. So, boy, this entirely open book, folks.
Yay.
So can anybody tell me, without looking at your notes, but you'd have to, why, this is a gag question, there's no points for this, why is this entirely open book? It's a philosophy question more than anything else.
Because we're not having to prove anything and take that.
It's true, that's part of it, that's not what I'm looking for. What do we want to? What's one of the things that we want to be known as a church as? People of the book. You can't be people of the book with a closed book and expect you to memorize things. So. I told you it's a philosophy question more than anything else. Anybody got any favorite words from last week that you want to go over?
Christos.
Let me just go over a few of these here. Almost did it. Yeah, we'll do it. Man. Okay. There we go. Remember this one? Baptizo, which is to baptize. Okay. Here's another one. This is a little different. Remember the circumflex. Just tells you something's happening with it. Sometimes there's a contraction. And remember this? What do we call this little mark here?
The C.
You're on the right. The C is the rough breathing mark. This one would be the rough breathing mark. This one would be the soft breathing mark.
Okay.
This one is pronounced as a H. Yeah, as an H. This one is not pronounced. It's simply, it's a placeholder, an apostrophe, a glottal stop, however you want to word it. So with that in mind, and I'm just going to draw this line here to divide the syllable, Haima. And what did we say that was?
Blood,
right, as in hematology, hemoglobin. There you go. This one here is one I asked you guys to really concentrate on. We have the gamma, well, grapho, which meant to write.
Mm-hmm.
And to write. We'll be coming back to that quite a bit a little later on. Okay, here's another one. We use a few different letters here to kind of get us going. Theos. And what did we say that meant?
God.
And what words we get from that?
Theology.
Yeah, theology, theologize, any Theo Kojak from the 70s.
Theocracy,
right. Mm-hmm. Seems we've heard that recently, haven't we? Christos. And here we have an example of the sigma in the middle of a word and the sigma at the end of the word. Okay? This is all just from last week. These are ones you guys know from last week. Sound out.
Synagogue.
Synagogue. This one we didn't have, but you should be able to get it. Well, maybe we had it. What's this one? Suke. Okay. Let me get that one. It's the word for soul. As in Psuche. We get psychology from that. Couple of new ones we're going to throw at you. But you know them, okay? I heard someone like they may have it. Antichristos. Antichrist. I told you knew these ones. There's another good one here. This is one of Dr. Collins' favorite little words. He just, No, this is a diphthong. So it's daimonion. Daimonion.
Dominion?
Means demon. Even sounds a little spooky. Daimonion. That one we did not have last week. And let's see here. We'll do just one more real quick. Get us up to speed. This is another one that you theological students will know. I'm sorry, I missed it up. Got to looking at it, that ain't got to come out right. Tupos, type. It's in typology. Okay, any questions here, gang? Okay. Jump ahead just a little bit. There's a lot in the study guide that we've gone through in the past with other classes, not with me in charge of them, that we won't go through here. What we're trying to do is just kind of get a feel for it a little bit, okay? And it gives you enough to get a start with. So if you see me flipping through a lot of pages, that's why. Bless you. Okay, these are a few prepositions. All right? Most of these are stuff that we have seen before. And we have time of, and if I have it, I have a little kind of cheat sheet that kind of tells you how to relate them a little bit. So we're not going to go through them. Okay, it's a couple of these we've looked at already. Okay. Okay, we have the smooth breathing mark, correct? Which is not pronounced. Alpha, nu, tau. That's an iota. On T, yeah. Now, we just had a word. What was that word? Antichristos. Right. So what does this mean? Anti means against. Okay? So this means against. And it, sometimes it will be, you know, stand alone. It won't necessarily be connected to a word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can mean against or instead of. So instead of against the Christ, it could be instead of Christ, which a lot of expositors kind of take that slant when it comes to Antichrist. And we have another one. Apo. Mm-hmm. Means from or away from. So if you think of an apposition to something, kind of moving away to something, it's kind of a foggy idea. Not opposition, but an apposition. There's a Greek term for that, by the way. Here's another one we see a lot of. idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this means through. It can also mean because of or on account of.
Out of. What word do we know that uses this?
Ecclesia. Ecclesiastes, yeah. They're called out ones.
Okay, sound this one out. This is a diphthong.
Ice.
Okay. Sure. Into, also unto, or because of, on account of.
So it, Acts 2.38, for example, speaks of baptism, ice, the remittance of repentance of sins. It's talking on account of repentance from sin, not to get the repentance from sin. In, sure. In. Means in. Most common use. Also on, by, or by means of. This is a breathing mark. And that's a, the accent. A P. Sure, upon or on, at or by.
Kata. Generally it means down from. Metta means with or after. Here's another one you know. Para. Para. As in, I'm a sign up, sure. Generally, yeah. It can mean from, before, beside, besides, beyond, alongside, any of those, depending on the context and what word is used with.
Could you repeat that again?
Sure, that again. Yeah. Yeah, it can mean from,
okay.
Before, beside, beside also, in the accusative, beyond, and alongside. And we get not alongside here.
Pen totals here,
just to make your eyes go.
Wee-wee.
Peri means about or concerning. This one you should know. Pro. Before. So, for example, we have the word prototype. It's a something that came before. In model building, it's what you're building the model after. We talk of in Genesis 3:15 or the proto-evangelium. The proto-evangelism, the first gospel, that is where this word comes from. That's where it comes in. Mm-hmm.
$4.
That's right.
Soon means with or together with.
This one we see a lot. You see this a lot in Paul's writing.
And this is the rough breathing mark. How's that pronounced? Yeah. So it sounds that. Huper. Okay? That means on behalf of or instead of. And you'll see that, you know, when he's comparing, contrasting, something like that. Okay, there's some more fun ones here. I'm not going to give you all these. We're just going to kind of go through them a little bit and kind of get your some of the more common ones that you will see.
I don't see this one, but... This is a diphthong again.
Kai.
Mm-hmm. It means and. So if you see, you know, you use something along the Greek and it's something other, kai, you know, apostolos, kai, you know, the prophets, apostles and prophets, yeah. I'm looking for the ones here that you'll see a little more often than others. And this list is a little different, so we won't use it. We'll just pretend this conversation never took place. Okay. There we go. The last little group we're going to look at is what we call particles.
We call them that just to have something to call them.
Okay, kai is one of those.
There's another.
De means but, as in, yeah, but. Okay, or the no buts. You know, having a conversation with somebody and have the yeah, but. It means they see your point, but they're not buying off on it. So you would, that's when you would see this.
Allah. No, Allah. No, it is not. It is not Arabic for God. It means also, but it's a little stronger than this one. This was like, yeah, I kind of disagree with you. This is like, go away.
Hmm? I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so, Scooter. Something like that. And then we have. And you will see this one used. You'll have this word, men, then you'll have a phrase or something in here. Then it'll de. That means, but on the one hand, but on the other hand. More of a comparison.
More like a versus? One thing versus another?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good way to use it. This is ooh. Okay? It just means no or not. Now,
let's see this.
Ude. Yes. It means and not or nor. But you notice we have the stem of ooh here. Okay? Udes means no way or no one. Starting to see a connection here in the ooze, the oo words. So the point we're trying to get at is if you read along your Greek New Testament or your interlinear or what have you and you see an oo word, that's a negative of some sort. Okay? Udes, that is no way or no one. Okay. Ude. Pate. Ude pate means never. Okay. Are we thoroughly confused with this yet? Working on it? Okay. That is still the negatives. Very negative. I don't like your negative attitude, though. Okay. Now, we just did the negatives. Anybody guess what we're going to do now? No, more negatives. This is a little different, though. Remember I told you this can get confusing? This is may. It also means not. When do they use one and when do they use the other? Pretty much when they feel like using one and feel like using the other. Remember the Greek thing with symmetry. So there's a chance that this plays something into it. You know, I've not studied the text enough and been able to pick this apart enough to know when. It could be just a style of an author. An author could have one style where he likes to use the de, the u rather, and the other one likes to use the ein, or the aim. Something like that, yeah, potato and potato.
You said that was also no?
It's also no, or not, rather. Yeah.
They're all these are negative, negative particles. Not to be confused with electrons.
Yeah, that's a mu. Mu, eta, delta, alpha. So... Medamos. Medamos means by no means. And there's a bunch of these guys. We're only going to go through another one or two of them
just to kind of give you a flavor for it. Yeah, by no means.
May it never be.
May it never be. Exactly.
God forbid. For the King James. Yeah. Me de pate. Me de pate. Means never. Okay, that's enough of those. There's about another 10 of them, but you get the idea, right? Yeah, it's okay. Me de pote, and that is never.
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 So would most people who can read this, if I were to write the table without the tail, just have it like it is on here, straight down?
Which one? What
read?
Eta.
Mm-hmm. The Eta.
Or right without the...
Yeah.
No, the second letter over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah, this one here?
If I were to write it without the little
oh, yeah.
tail loop,
yeah.
people would recognize it still?
Sure. This part here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Just that when you start with seeing people writing this on the board, it usually comes out this way. Yeah. So definitely no exception. Okay, there's a few things in Greek that you'll notice when you're going through verbs, okay? Most of us, I think, we kind of are familiar with subject, verb, objects a little bit, so we're not going to really go into that too much at all. Greek is structured with what we know as universal rules of grammar and syntax. This is why everybody told me when I took Greek that you would start to get the grammar and syntax that you thought was totally useless when you were in the eighth grade. And it didn't really quite work out that way. But it works on the same rules. So once you get the big picture, you can start to, you know, work through this a little bit. Most of us, I would say, know how to speak good or English, okay? We're pretty good at that. We can speak proper English. We have it, and your four-year-old has it. Okay, a four-year-old writing in the Greek Koine alphabet would also have it. It just comes naturally to him because that's pretty much how he was trained and brought up. When it comes to getting the technical things out of it and all the rest of that, and labeling them and diagramming them and putting the relationship to them together, that's when we kind of fall apart a little bit. All right, but we have this, and Greek works in the same way. So when you start having some of the words, for example, that we've worked with, and you see verbs start to, you know, come up a certain way, a first-person singular in Greek has the same meaning it does in English. Okay? There's no real secrets or anything like that there. So Greek, when looking at a verb, and if you get good enough at it, you can learn to distinguish between the voices, okay, between active, passive, and middle. And I just want to review this really quickly. Active voice means the subject is doing the acting. For example, God loves children. I love my wife. I am the subject, love the verb, my wife. Okay, the object. Passive voice, the subject is being acted upon. Okay, I am being loved on by my wife. Okay, I'm the recipient, if you want to, you know, think of it that way. And you can figure this out by looking at the Greek verb when you get more and more familiar with it. We probably won't get that in depth this time around in this class, but it's just to let you know the knowledge is there, okay? And when people say that a certain Greek word means this, that's how they know, because they've studied the word and can parse this out and make sense out of it. Then there's the middle voice, where the subject is acting, but it's also the recipient of the action. I'm doing the acting here, and I'm also the recipient of the action, okay? That would be me after this five-week class is done, all right? So any confusion there? We're all set there? Okay. Yeah, one more time? This part of it? Or the loving of my wife part of it? Yeah, a little more actively, a little faster, and harder, right? Okay, let's see how we want. Okay, Greek. I'm going to write this down because you will need to get this part of it, okay? There are five building blocks to Greek verbs that we need to know. There are five things that they will tell you that you look at a verb in the Greek, and by looking at it and parsing it, you can tell what it is, and you can tell what it's doing. The five things are tense, voice, mood, person, and number. All right? Now, tense tells you the time. Okay, the time of the action or the being. All right, for example, when you're dealing with the verb, the to be verbs, for example, am, was, were, will be. Words like, you know, things like this. It tells you the time element of it. All right. In English, we have pretty much three. Can anybody tell me what they are? Sure. Past, present, future. Absolutely. Greek's a little more complex, but not as much as you would think. Okay. Okay. Past has three past tense verbs that it deals with. Okay, the first one is the imperfect. Second one is the perfect. Anybody tell me what the third one is? The so-so one? Yeah, the halfway in. You've heard it all your life. Preachers like to use it because it sounds really important. I think I heard it. Aorist, yeah. Okay, the imperfect is a progressive or continuous action. So you might say, I was swimming. And it has a kind of a continual motion with it, okay? And it would, if you put it on a time chart, you know, it would look kind of more like this. You had a definite beginning and a definite ending, and sometime over that time, the person was swimming. Okay? That is what we mean by the imperfect. All right? Perfect carries with it an action with a continual result. Okay? So, think of a good example for this. Yeah, that's better. So you would say, I am saved. Okay? When did the salvation happen? In the past. But what is the result of that? It is continual. Okay? So if you had to diagram that on a timeline, you would start here, and it would just have a continuing result, if it helps you to visualize that a little bit. Okay? The aorist is what we call, it's past tense, we call it a punctiliar. It's a completed action in past time. All right? I swam. It just said you swam. It just didn't, there's no time length associated with it, just I swam. So if you had to draw that on a timeline, it would just be a punctiliar point. Okay? Now, depending on, anybody remember from a review from a couple of weeks ago, the three top rules for interpretation are? Context, context, context. You will hear preachers say, and they said this more in times past than what they used to, what they say now, that the aorist, they would say that the aorist is a one-time for all action. That is not always necessarily true. Okay? Because it depends on context, context, context. You know, you can preach the gospel. That could be in an aorist tense. And you could go to another town and you can preach the gospel again, for example. You preached it in Rio Rancho, and then you preached it in Corrales, and then you preached it in Estancia. You know, you have three different, you know, times in the past when you did this at a peculiar time and space, but they're all three different. And they all three could be expressed using the aorist, okay? So it doesn't necessarily mean once for all, never to be repeated. And you hear this, you used to hear this a lot, guys, when, now I just hate to pick on people like this, but evangelists would come to town and they would be up front and throwing the altar call, and God mans you to make a once for all commitment. You know, the Greek aorist tense wants a once for all commitment. Well, maybe true. God may want a once for all commitment for your life. But what God really wants is more something like this. Okay? Well, that's just, you know, some of the things you can use to kind of, I hate to say check up on people because it really gives a bad connotation to it, but it will, I think, enhance your learning a little bit. Okay. Any question about the past tenses? Okay. It's all past, yeah. Do what? Yeah. Okay, that's the past tense, all right? There is one present tense in Greek. Anybody care to guess what they call it? Yeah. And present tense is now. Okay, so what's going on right now at this time and space? I am speaking into a microphone. That is present tense. Am speaking. Okay, same in Greek, same in English. Doesn't make much difference. One present tense, only one. And Greek also has a future tense. Okay. And what do we call this one? Future. Sure. And what would that call? It'd be not yet. But it's in the future. Okay, because it hasn't happened yet. Now, sometimes in Greek prophetic writing, you will see not the actual prophecies so much and the visions so much as to their after effect. A lot of times referred to in the present tense or sometimes even in a past tense. Okay? There's a couple of examples of this in Jude, for example. There's various theories bandied about why this is. I think the best one is that the writers of the New Testament, for example, just had so much faith in God and His ability to bring about what He said He was going to bring about that they chose to write about it as though it were an actual fact that had already happened. But you will see this when you're studying prophecy. And if you read a better commentary or work on prophecy, it will bring some of this stuff out when you do that. If you get to the point where you're studying your Greek New Testament religiously, a couple of chapters a day, along with your daily devotionals, you will also see this. I tried this once and I didn't get real far with it, but it does happen. Okay, that is the tenses. All right, remember we had five things: tense, voice, mood, person, and number. Yes, sir. Yeah, there's imperfect and subjunctive. We're going to kind of get into those a little bit. Yeah, those are little. And we should get into those either this week or next week as to what they are. But we're not going to be able to take our one or two simple Greek verbs and parse them out like that just for lack of time. And okay, the voice. We already looked at this, the three things that you can also tell by looking at the Greek verb. And we have what we mentioned earlier, active. Subject is acting. Okay. Passive. Subject being acted upon. And middle, which is both. Subject is acting and being acted upon. I knew you'd want to see that. Okay? And that was from earlier. All right? That was another one of the things you could tell by looking at the word. Mood. This is something to do with what you were talking about a minute ago. We have three moods. Versus indicative. No, the words have three moods, not we persons have three moods. We are many and wondered in our moods. I wonder. Indicative, that means the action is real. Okay? Subjunctive. What you think it caps on? What do you think this means? Okay. What does that mean?
Past
not necessarily real, but potential. We're on the right track. Yeah, you got to make, you got to connect some dots here. The dots are a little far away, but.
So it's how the individual sees it?
Well, it's how the word is, the Greek word is described, that you may have eternal life. Okay, the may would may have would be in the subjunctive mood because it's potential. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. But not necessarily. Right, not necessarily. Whereas in prophecy, for example, the indicative is going to be real. God is not saying, I may bring these things about. He's saying, I will bring them about. They are real. This one we already know. Okay. And what's an imperative?
Absolute.
An absolute, sure. It is a command. I command all men everywhere to repent. Okay? That is an imperative. It's not a subjunctive. He's not saying, think it back for a while and repent. He's not saying, you have repented. He is making a command to repent. Okay? Tense, voice, and mood. I'm sorry? There is, but we may hit it later. I don't know how often that's used, but now you mention it, there is there. It's used just often enough to be confusing. I'm sorry, Terry? Yeah, I think it was actually in one of our handouts, but it was one of those that we didn't see a whole lot of, so they didn't concentrate on it. Okay, we have this one here, and then we're getting back into what we know. Person. Okay, again, Greek is just like English. We have first. Give me an example. Sure. I. We. Okay. Second. You. All right. We have a problem in modern English. For example, the King James didn't have it, or if you're down south, you don't have it. Down south would be you singular, y'all plural. Okay.
New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you.
Ewans. Yeah. And, third, he, yeah, she, it, they, themens, yeah, them folks. Okay, so that's pretty much it there. And then last we have number.
Number.
Okay. This one's pretty simple. You have singular. No, not the cell company. It's just singular, one. Okay. And we also have plural. Hebrew is a little different. Hebrew also has a pair. So when you're talking about legs, for example, you would, instead of, wouldn't have a plural form of legs for a person, you'd have his legs, and the phrase of the word would be as a pair. You would understand it to be a pair. So Greek doesn't do that. So any questions, guys? That's all pretty cut and dry for the most part. It was more fun when we were just working on vocabulary words, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. Now we have what we call the building blocks of Greek verbs. This is how you're going to be able to look at a verb and tell you what it's doing.
No. I got some different colors in here, though. Okay, first one we have is the stem.
Should we be drawing these as blocks?
If that helps you, you're going to want to kind of have an idea of what this is. Okay. Second one is a prefix. Okay, sometimes it takes the form of augmentation or a reduplication. All right? For example, our word I want to do it. Yeah, we're going to do it this way. Grafo, you might see gegrafo. That's a reduplication. You're duplicating the first letter and adding a vowel after it to make a full syllable out of it. Okay? So if you see that, that's happening in this verb. Don't worry about it yet. We'll tie that in later on as to where you'll see it. Yeah, because we don't use that, you know. We don't say run, run, okay, or write, write.
We say rewrite,
and that's probably as close as you can have it. Not all words have this, okay. Every one will have a stem, all right. Every one will have a stem. Next one is called the sign. Again. Okay, not all words will have the sign. Okay, that's where it gets kind of confusing because you'll be looking for a prefix or looking for a sign, and it won't be there. All right? It's like a connection. Okay.
So you're saying the prefix and the sign would be kind of useful to figuring out what the verb
is? If they're there, yeah. But they're not always there. It does, but in a way different way. We're not really going to hit nouns too much on this. We're just not going to have enough time for it. But nouns are a little simpler, though. And then the fourth is we have the ending. Okay? Now, the way I like to do this, and the way it's been taught, is try to figure out the stem and the ending first. Because every word will have those. Yes. Yeah, every word will have those. Yeah, you'll always, in a verb, you'll always have a stem, you'll always have an ending. Okay? Now, I hesitate to say always because we know what happens. You know, we always find an exception. But generally, you'll always have a stem, you'll always have an ending. You may or may not have a prefix, which can be an augment or a reduplication, like rewriting or rewriting or rah-rah-reeing or something. You may or may not have a sign or a connection. We will get into that as we go through, because only certain verbs use it. Not all of them use it. Okay? Yeah. Some of the more obscure ones do use it, though. Okay. Everybody okay so far? Any questions about this? Marie, what time do you have? Oh, 8:15? Okay. So we have to wrap up some of this, and then we'll pick it up again next week, okay? Now, are we confused enough, or do we have kind of an idea of what we're looking at or what we should be looking at? Okay, we're going to look at a couple, okay, and a couple of simple tenses to kind of build on this. Okay, try to keep this in mind, okay? All right, we're going to look at the present tense. Okay, present tense. These are four building blocks, okay? So, that's a zero. That one's not used. This one's not used. Okay? This one we have, we're calling this a linear stem. That's your basic dictionary your basic dictionary stem. And we have what we call a primary ending. Why we look at present tense first, because really it's kind of simple. You're taking the dictionary stem and you're putting a primary ending on it. Okay? Everybody got that? What you're going to get from it?
Zeros or P's?
Those are zeros. Yeah, those are zeros.
They're nulls.
Yeah, nulls. Mm-hmm. It's nulls based. They're nots. Or nots. That's how we draw them now. Okay, for example, okay, we have this word, grapho, okay, which means write. Okay, now, the linear form of this is graph. The O is the ending. The O is primary ending. Okay? Now, this is, we didn't cover this yet, we'll cover some next week, but I want to get you started on it. Grapho, this ending is a first person singular primary active ending. Okay, let's look at this. First person. Who is first person?
I.
Singular, again, I, not we. Okay? Active, meaning not passive and not middle. So, armed with this, we have writing, we have first person singular. How would you translate grapho?
I am writing.
I am writing. Present tense, okay, because this is what we're dealing with here. You would translate this, I am writing. Next week we're going to back up, we're going to go over all these endings, but I wanted to give you the building blocks first so we could work with that just a little bit, okay?
So and play with this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In this case, it would, because that is your primary... primary active first person singular ending. That all of that is in that O.
In one letter.
In one letter. Okay. Now, remember how at the very beginning when we said Greek was a very expressive language, you could take one word or one letter and, you know, we would take a paragraph to describe what this one word or one letter is doing. In this case, we would take three words. I am writing is grapho. And it was understood to mean, I am writing. And it could mean nothing else. Okay? That is why, when you get down to it, the Greek study gets kind of so important. Okay? That is why, when you have scribal errors or inconsistencies in biblical copies between, for example, this word and this word, in and out of, you can see how missing up one word can change the whole meaning of a word or a sentence or phrase or what have you. Yeah. It makes it kind of opposite, you know. Yeah, that's why this is a highly respected field, much more respected than I'm able to give it now. Okay, let's look at a couple more of these. We're just gonna play with this one, okay?
Okay, this is, again, we have graph, okay? And again, this is present, so we're not looking at a connector here or we're not looking at a prefix, okay? This is omen, graph omen, graph omen, okay? This is the first person plural primary active ending.
We are writing.
So, for example, in Acts chapter 15, when the church council at Jerusalem met, and James, you know, sits here and they're collating their notes at the end of this, we, the elders, are writing to the churches to abstain from things strangled, fornication, blood, and have a nice day. And they would say something like, Raphael, man, we are writing. You know, and the text in Acts 15 might not say that, but the action going on is what that is. Okay, Raphael. So this is first person singular, first person plural, the difference between I and we. Yes, ma'am.
So you would be, if you had a different linear word, you would be using those same endings.
The same endings, exactly. Mm-hmm. Baptizo, baptizo men. I am baptizing, we are baptizing, for example. And it's the same regardless of the word. So once you've got the endings down, this is kind of hard to figure out sometimes, because sometimes this will be hidden, the linear, but it's always there. The endings are usually pretty out there. Okay? My teacher told me, look at the linear thing first. I never got the hang of that. I would always look at the ending and try and figure out the person, you know, the tense of the verb first, and then I try and figure out what it meant once I figured out, you know, the time aspect of it. Okay, let's hit a couple more of these real quick. So this is the first person. Anybody care to guess what we're going to go through next time?
Third person.
We just did first. Yeah, we'll do second. We're just going to finish the present tense. That'll be it for tonight. I think it's going to be plenty. It'll be plenty for me. Okay. This is graph ace. Okay? And this is second person, singular, primary, active.
And it singular?
Second person, singular. You are writing. So how many people are going to be back next week? Two.
We can do this.
Oh, I know you can. You can probably put me to shame with it. And I kid you not. Okay, and keeping along, this is going to be second person, singular, plural ending. Y'all.
Y'all, we is writing.
No, y'all is writing. Y'all is writing. It's present, so it's R, it is. Okay, we are currently writing. So y'all is writing. Okay? That's your second person, singular, plural. The Greek makes the difference. Okay, King James made the difference. I don't remember what the difference was. I'm sorry? That's right. Thank you. Yep. Yeah, but, you know, modern English, you is you. So, again, what determines the use? Context. Okay? Unless you're down south. Or in the hood. Okay. We okay with this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you're not from the South, you don't say y'all.
That's right.
You say you folks.
You folks. Yous.
Youngins.
Mm-hmm. Here we have.
We're moving to the third person now.
I'm not going to be that cruel to you guys. I'm not going to fourth person or a different system or whatever. Graphe. Okay. Graphe. Who is E? Graphe. He is writing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Graphusi.
Oh my.
Graphusi.
My alphas are getting really bad.
Yeah, that's why they end up getting really sloppy, because it uses a lot, and you just don't feel like, you know, doing calligraphy with them.
It's not right.
I'm sorry?
It's not right.
It's not right, yeah. No, I see. Yeah, I see where you're getting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was attached to the front of the word, then you would have a case for that. No, this is they are writing. They be writing.
Plural, right?
Right, uh-huh.
Right.
They be writing. My gooder English, yeah. Okay, I'm going to write one more easy thing down. This won't take long. This is a good one to memorize. This will actually help you out. All this will help you out, but... Okay, these are all of our primary active endings. We just used every one of them, okay? And I'm going to give you the real simple parts. We just went over these, so they should be... Okay, there's a way to remember this. Okay, singular and plural, first, second, third person. So working our way down, repeat after me. O-S-A.
O-S-A.
Omen Eddie Usi.
O-S-A.
O-S-A. Omen Eddie Usi.
O-S-A.
O-S-A. Omen Eddie Usi.
Omen Eddie Usi.
If you can get that down, you'll have these primary active endings, okay, memorized. And they'll help you then. That'll be your first, you know, your first big step. Okay?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I babble a lot.
Now, just when you thought it couldn't get any better.
Oh, no!
The orange that I put in parentheses are parts of these endings that sometimes
are merged with connectors or the endings of the linear word.
Oh, gosh.
Okay? Like in English, when you drop an E and add an ing, that's exactly what it is. Okay? The reason they're in parentheses is because you'll sometimes see it and kind of watch for it.
So the things you're putting words around, you would drop?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For example, you wouldn't say baptizo men. Oh, baptizo o men. You would say baptizo men. Okay. Or some. I made that up as an example, but that's when you would use it. You would drop one and just kind of merge them together.
Okay.
Are we spent?
Yes.
We got it. Well, we got it better than I do. What's that? I think you could have dunked me in the tank just to do it here a little bit. Oh, he didn't say anything about filling it. He said dunking. Now, you see, this starts to get a little more technical. You know, we start to get away from just simple words, and we're having to work with them a little bit more. What we're going to do next week, okay? Going to try to go over the rest of the endings. We're going to make a little chart kind of like this and go through it. And we're going to go through the building blocks, just real basic, taking a simple word like grapho, which is, you know, pretty simple, and seeing how the different endings and the prefixes are used to build those verbs up. Okay? Time permitting, we'll also touch a little bit on nouns. Nouns are pretty simple. I don't know that we're going to get into prepositions or anything like that. Prepositions are really juicy in Greek because... but they're a little more complex than they are in English, okay? So we'll try and get into those, if not next week, a little bit in the week after. We'll try and do some simple parsing the last week, all right, from, say, a verse in 1 John chapter 1, which is, that is the Dick and Jane primer, if you will, of Greek. You don't want to start with Hebrews or Revelation or something like that. You know, 1 John, written by a fisherman, yeah, that works pretty good. And most of it is stuff like this, grapho, okay? Part of what we've seen tonight, though, is what we reiterated the first night that we were here, that you can take something in the Greek and it, you know, it means grapho. For example, it means I am writing. It means nothing else and cannot mean anything else. That is why sometimes, you know, a little bit of the Greek study will help to clear up an ambiguity in the text. Also, many other times, more times than not, it'll point to reinforce that the translation that you have and that you're working for with is just fine. There's nothing with it. They translated it this certain way because of the way it was in the Greek. But at the end of this course, hopefully, if we stick with it, we'll have a little bit of idea how this kind of works together a little bit. And maybe some of you guys will be able to take up and pick up a Greek New Testament, start reading from it and going through these things kind of word at a time and, you know, getting through it. And, you know, before long, you know, you're going to be experts with this. Trust me. Yeah. Any questions or comments before we go tonight? Well, let's all stand in prayer. Raise. Oh. Brother Terry, would you do the honors of closing us, please?